Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Protests in the Middle East, as we've heard so often, have often been fueled by social media, by setups, protests and demonstrations that have been set up over the internet, which means you've got the old technology of people marching in streets and holding up signs, meeting new technology of Twitter and Facebook and Foursquare. Demonstrators and their supporters are using Twitter to organize themselves. Meanwhile, pro-government forces, particularly in Syria, are using Twitter to spread propaganda, and they've been inundating users with pro-loyalist messages, spamming them. This phenomenon has become known to the tech world as Syria botting. We're joined now by Gillian York, project coordinator for the Open Net Initiative at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. And Gillian's article about this appeared in yesterday's edition of The Guardian. Gillian, explain what Syria botting is.
Well, this is not by any means unique to Syria, but basically what's happening is you've got a number of accounts set up on Twitter providing automated content and using the Syria hashtag to do it. And my interpretation of this is that the purpose of doing this is to flood a hashtag that's being used for protest to try to sort of quash some of that speech.
All right. Also with us is Anas Katesh, a Syrian blogger based in Boston. But Anas, I understand you've actually been spammed by pro-government forces over the past few weeks. What are you following Twitter today? Are you seeing some of these things?
Yes, I'm seeing protests in multiple cities around the country. And the spam, I wasn't the only one suffering from spam. Basically, the spam was targeting the Syria hashtag, which is the main hashtag people are using to share information and to find the recent updates about the situation on the ground in Syria. And it made it hard to have a conversation with people there and to find reliable info.
Read one to me. What's an example of this propaganda that you're getting?
I mean, they're not only necessarily propaganda, but some of the accounts are seemingly designed to look innocent. Some of them tweet links to photos. Some of them tweet like results from soccer matches from 4 or 5 years ago that nobody really cares about. But they tweet every 2 or 3 minutes, nonstop for 24 hours. And that really disrupts the conversation and degrades the user experience when they're trying to find out info about Syria. I'm sorry, I'm not near my computer, so I can't actually read a tweet to you.
No problem. Gillian, this is a different technique than what we saw in Egypt, and a couple other countries have tried simply shutting down internet access. Why this particular strategy? Why use it?
Well, so I will say that I've seen similar strategies in Bahrain and in Morocco, but not using automated tweets, actually just people going on and harassing and insulting others who are tweeting about protests. But why this technique? I mean, honestly, in this case, you know, we don't actually have any evidence that this is government operative doing this. It could just be someone who, you know, thinks that, you know, they love their country, they want to keep this stuff out of the media, and so they're just going to throw all of this this sort of irrelevant content in there and try to get rid of the protest content. And so, you know, it's like I said, it's not necessarily a government strategy. It might just be a strategy to by an individual trying to get rid of some certain speech.
All right. So, Anas, does it work when you get all these spam messages from whomever is generating them? Does it make you less likely to follow Twitter? Do you stop tweeting?
It doesn't make me less likely to follow Twitter because at the end, these tactics don't really work. They just cause a distraction and they're an annoyance. But it ends at that, and Twitter has handled them. They filtered them out of their search, although the accounts still exist and active. So people who want to follow them can, but they're no longer affecting the conversation going on these hashtags and related searches to Syria. So
that's,
I think, in this case, it's
not
really
working.
Good,
not working for Anas Katesh. He's a Syrian blogger who's based in Boston. He's been spammed repeatedly, as he describes, by somebody over the past few weeks. We're also speaking with Gillian York, project coordinator for the Open Net Initiative at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. And Gillian, in terms of combating social media, are we seeing sort of countries imitating one another in terms of governments? as you say, we don't know if this is the government, but are they imitating one another and using, trying out experimental strategies to combat opposition forces who are using, say, Facebook or Twitter?
Sure. I mean, we've seen a lot of different strategies like that being used across the region. I mean, last year we saw a couple of different countries imitate each other in going after individual Twitter accounts. So instead of blocking Twitter.com, they decided to block Twitter.com/somebody's username. And we saw that happen in both Tunisia and Bahrain last year. And that's a way of, you know, keeping the general populace happy while still trying to get rid of certain dissent. And we've seen the internet shut down in Egypt. Libya copied that, and I'm certain that we're going to see more of that soon, unfortunately. And so, I think governments are certainly learning from each other in this space.
Well, Anas, some of the spam that I've been seeing going out is just pictures of your country. I mean, is it really that harmful when they're spamming pictures of Syria?
In essence, they're not that harmful if they were not excessively tweeting at an unreasonable rate. There were two accounts. Combined, they tweeted over 14,000 times in less than 20 days. I'm yet to reach
Wait. You just said they tweeted more than 14,000 times in less than 30 days. Mm-hmm. Is that what you just said?
In less than 20 days. Haven't reached that number in 2 years of tweeting. So,
holy cow.
Just disruptive.
But that has to make some people turn it off. Don't you think? Maybe not you. You're obviously a dedicated tweeter. But, I mean, if I were getting 14,000 tweets over the course of, say, 2 or 3 weeks, I would turn it off.
Many people were complaining. Many people reported it as spam. And, you only see these messages if you're following Syria. And I bet it basically, it surely turned people away from following the news or even finding relevant info. So it was definitely disruptive and degraded the general experience.
Gillian York of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society, do we have any evidence that the strategy like this is actually effective?
No, not really. I mean, I think what it comes down to is I've certainly heard from a few people, journalists are looking at these hashtags to try to get quick on the news, on the ground news from Twitter. And I've heard from some of them that, it's kind of difficult in this case to discern who is genuinely providing news. And I think that when you have the degradation of a hashtag with all of this, these automated tweets, the spam, I can understand why they're kind of having those difficulties. And so, no, I mean, this is not, it's not really censorship. It's not incredibly problematic. It's not like shutting down the internet or blocking a website, but it makes it very difficult for people to follow what's happening.
Gillian York, Project Coordinator for the Open Net Initiative at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society, and Anas Katesh, a Syrian blogger based in Boston. You can read Gillian's article about this in yesterday's Guardian.